haven't preached to you for 2 weeks. So I got like 3 hours of sermon to do. But don't worry. I think the Broncos are playing today, so. Aren't they playing? Where's my Bronco fans? Pam, are they playing today? Who are they playing? Oh, that'll be a fun group to beat up on. All right, let's get down to the real stuff, the reason we really meet on Sunday. Let's pray for the Word, and then we're going to delve deeply into these last couple chapters of Revelation. I haven't planned anything past the Mayan calendar, because why waste the time? That's a Mayan calendar joke. I've got one. That was it. No, I got two. Never listen to people that couldn't see the conquistadores coming. I mean, can you trust their... If they're all that good about the future, couldn't they tell, hey, those Spanish people, not so good for us. You know, if they couldn't do that, I'm really not all that interested on December 2012, because if they miss the really big one right in front of them, I don't know how they're going to predict down the road. I'll be here the next day after. If I'm not, I'm Mayan. I'm not... You know. It rhymes with lion, so anyhow, that's, bam, that was great. All right, turn to Revelation, it's the last book in your Bible, and as we continue to go through this, we're in that portion where we're looking at God culminating all history to come, Him finishing off, I'm talking to you around the corner there, Niecy, so I can see you, so I'm run over here, listen, Niece. God's doing some work in Revelation, okay? You guys got that? Betsy? All right, everybody cool over there? Because that's where the napping is. Those pews haven't been used in so long, they still have all the original cushioning in them. They're nice, and that's the secret. Some of you guys sitting in the middle in the back, especially you guys in the back, those pews are way beat down because people sleep on those pews. The end of the world is coming. I agree. It's a song in my head. You all know that song? If you're my age, the end of the world is coming. I feel fine. That's how it goes. The end of the world's coming, pretty good with that. Why? Because this place stinks. You know, that's how some people feel. The end of the world's coming, great. Now we have people that believe me putting a fluorescent biohazard in my house is the answer to stopping that from happening. We believe that if we could just figure out how to conquer disease, we don't need a God, for one thing, because why do we need God if we don't have disease, right? People teach that. This country is so unaccustomed to death now that they think they can beat it. They think Jimmy Jones thinks he doesn't look weird. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you see the facelift, the guy... I love my football team. I'm smiling. Now I'm frowning. You know, they do things to take away the age because nobody wants to get to the point where they're going to die because they don't want to figure out what's next. And this world really doesn't want to hear that the answer to all their problems are going to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear if we just get the right cream. I looked and I would get very, the way they use medication today trips me out. I actually saw a guy applying a cream to his underarm. See, now that would get confusing because that's where I use my deodorant. Can you imagine getting that mixed up? You know, it's bad enough like when I was really tired and we had our first kid and Ethan would not go to sleep at all. And back then I had sleep apnea too, so a little kid with sleep apnea. I didn't know it was sleep apnea. I just thought it was my stupid kid waking me up all the time. Nobody ever talks about their children that way, do they? Let's just be honest. They're doing that to you. So I'm waking up going, dear God, I can't keep operating like this with this child. You know, he's one of us has got to get some sleep, and I make money, and he costs money. So there's an upside-downness. But the world keeps going around. Things keep happening. People blame everything, and they want a cure for everything. So what does the world give you? They give you cure. I like when they tell you, if you quit smoking now, it'll add X amount of years to their lives. Really? Really? We had this whole push for like helmets on children. Remember when that was a big deal, putting helmets on people? You know, those people grow up to vote. The really dumb ones who can't figure out how not to get hit by cars, you know, and the dumb motorcyclists breed, right? So we wonder, are all these things we're trying to do to make life better, making life better? Most people are nostalgic because they realize the more things we add to life hasn't really made life better. A TV show that recognizes that is the new normal, where apparently everybody's gay. And if you're not gay, you dress gay. All right? And the toughest guy in your house is the lesbian. You know, these new TV shows are portraying a worldview that simply says we will all get along when every sin becomes okay, except for eating people, because that's not vegan. You know, because LA right now is trying to outlaw eating meat at certain times of the day. It's a flagellants law, or I don't understand what they're trying to do. But they're trying to address everything except, you know what's really good to keep crime down in America? Having dads be dads and having moms be moms. What? You know, I grew up outside of Exeter. My nearest neighbor was about 100 yards away. We shared a lawn between us. We had been a parcel that had like five homes on it. That was the big ranch that used to run all the cattle up on Rocky Mountain when all those rich people weren't in the way of a perfectly good grazing hill. You know what I'm saying? They get in the way. Now to go rattlesnake shooting, you have to shoot their dogs too because they're up there. But they took, anyhow, I lived on this great place where my nearest neighbor wasn't all that near, but it was near enough to be neighbors. And when you grow up in a country, you don't get a choice of what your friends are, because when you only have like a few near you, you got to learn to kind of get along, because that's the only friends you have. And you had to learn to get along. And as a kid, you know, you grow up going to church and you think everybody goes to church just like you do, right? And you seek relationships. Well, as you grow up, your relationships change based on what? Your values, what are most important to you. Your relationships change by what are we trying to do? Can I trust you to be a good neighbor? Am I a good neighbor to you? You know, in our neighborhood, we spent a lot of time in my first part of our marriage living in cheap apartments all over the place because we are missionaries and a different place. And we just never had money to own a home. And our neighbors were often felons, because that's the level of missionary support we had. It was to live with felons. And so our neighbors were all, and I mean, these were felons, like five-time repeat offenders that had been kicked out of the country, come back, they're smoking pot, they're, you know, doing all this stuff. And you're trying to live your right life in a group like that, you can get kind of bitter, can't you? Have you ever felt like you're the only one right? I know you women have. Sorry, but I just, you know, I always have that joke. If my father-in-law doesn't have the answer, my wife does, and that's because my father-in-law taught my wife everything she needs to know, and she's just very right a lot of the times. But bitterness comes because when you have a message and you think you're right, and people don't agree with you, you get mad, right? Well, what do we do with Christianity? When we go out and we preach the gospel about grace and mercy, yet we're embittered at people who don't get it. I always tell people, don't expect Christians to do Christian things. Christians have a hard enough time doing Christian things. Why do you expect non-Christians to do Christian things? Right? The Bible, even the apostles said, listen, you Jews, you had the commandments, the prophets, the kings, the oracles, you had it all right there to get to know God, that you couldn't keep it. So why do you expect these Greeks, these pagans, to have to keep your law too when you couldn't keep it? Why am I bringing this up now? How is this coming to end time stuff? We are celebrating the first Advent of Christ. We're going to start celebrating next week with the Advent circle and readings and scenes. And it's a wonderful reminder Christ came, but it's also a reminder Christ is coming back. Just as sure as he came the first time, he's coming back. And he's going to make sure it's all right, because he's the perfect judge. I got two systems of judging people. Raider fans, and then everybody else. I'm a Bronco fan. I've earned the right to have that. I also don't like Dallas much either. I don't like any of the teams that beat my team in the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of them that beat my team in the Super Bowl. A lot. So I have my own laws, and people laugh, why do you bring those up? Because it's an easy way to use an example for what people do to other people. You know, I judge you because you don't care about what I care about. Can we just be honest? You didn't care about what God cared about until Christ changed your life. Did you? So let's just be honest, because that's what the Bible teaches in Romans. There are none righteous, no, not one. None seek good. And that word good isn't aesthetically pleasing, because in America, when we say it was a good time, we mean it was an aesthetically pleasing time. For me, I don't care if you liked it. We even do that with worship. Man, we really worshiped. It was a good worship time. Really? Yes, we didn't sing one hymn. Well, then I don't really think it was all that great of a worship time. Why? Because aesthetically, we're talking about aesthetics. What makes me happy? So good, in our American vernacular, talks about aesthetic pleasing. You know, it's good for me. I like it. Whereas when the Bible uses agathos to say good, it means moral rightness. And when it means moral rightness, it means whether you like it or not, this is good. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and they said, hey, good teacher, and they yelled at him like that, and he turned around and he said, whoa, there's none good except God. So are you calling me a morally right and authoritative teacher? And they're like, don't go there, it's a trap. Because we're going to have to call him God. And we can't do that. But he's talking with authority. And then when we tell people to admit to their sin and come to know Jesus, sometimes we have to act like the sin you really need to, you know, listen, I love you. I've known you for 25 years. You're my family member. I want you to confess your sin to Jesus, particularly all the times you hurt me. Because that's what's going to get you saved. No, that's not it. But that's how we act, don't we? When you're coming to know Christ, what Christ is going to do is correct all the things that was wrong between you and I and show you how wrong you've been the whole time. And that's how I know you know Jesus. Because you've repented to me, really. And we act that way as Christians. Because there's some people who might have liked me a lot better when I didn't live for Christ. Because I was with their value system. There's some people in my family that are Christians who don't like me being a Christian. Because I tell them, where is that in the Bible? You know, the sin you repent of to get saved is the sin that God's dealing with at the end of Revelation. That Jesus Christ is the perfect God-filled sacrifice. And if you don't accept that, you do indeed deserve the wrath of God for an eternity. People cannot accept that without Jesus Christ changing their hearts. So all of us sitting there came from one simple foundation. The Holy Spirit changed your heart to see that what you need to repent of is you being God of your life and accepting Christ as a Savior from God's wrath for sin. That's what you, when you say, I need to confess, it's a sin. The big sin is being moral judge of your own life and, by the way, everybody else's. And accepting Christ as the authoritative moral judge of what's right and wrong. I literally watched a 3-hour presentation about Abraham Lincoln, and it reminded me of where this world is going. In that 3.5-hour presentation, they did not talk about his faith once. They talked about him being depressed, suicidal, gay, a lot. And you know what it is? It's people who live in New York who have never lived outside their world or their time. And there's a writing in one of his journals. Stayed at an in-house with this guy, and we shared the bed. It's a guy that I used to share my bed with when I was in that town. And they're like, see, he's gay. Well, there's also 20 other guys in this hotel all laying on the same pallet. How many of you grew up at some point having to sleep in the bed with one of your cousins, your family members, whatever? How many of you remember Little House on the Prairie? Dad wasn't a pedophile because he was in the same bed with his kids. It's warm. You know? Well, they must have all been gay then. No. You see, people want to judge everything by their own authority. And when we get into this part of Revelation and you see God doing business, he's calling them to repent. But the Bible says they're not going to repent. There will be an overwhelming group of people who will not repent no matter what God does. Why? Because man in their own hearts are bent against God. They wage war, as King James says, against the spirit, the flesh, against God. They wage war. Some of us think if we can get the right track, if I just had the right track or the right gospel presentation, my friend would come to know Christ. I hate to tell you, that's not the case. The case is Christ changing his heart and then him leading the right people to say the right things in those positions. And our job is to teach you the right message. But the message doesn't save. The messenger, Jesus Christ, on behalf of God, saves. Because he is God himself. That's the message. And so as we're getting into Revelation, you see some pretty heavy things. You need to know that God is trying to prove unto the world that he alone is Lord. They should worship him. But the Bible, looking at the future, and this is great, you guys that are Star Trek time-space continuum people who actually argue about such things, we're talking about the future in the past tense. Because you see, in God, who exists outside of time, it's done. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. It's as good as done. When it's done. It's like my wife telling my son, your bottom's already spanked. You just don't know it yet because dad hasn't come home yet, but it is finished. I'm speaking about it in the past tense because it's a done deal. It is going to happen. Have you ever had one of your children where you tell them this is going to happen, I'm going to spank you, and they perfectly well know it and they go do that thing and then they come back to beg you not to spank them? You know what you have to do? Whatever is spanking or just whatever that discipline point is, you have to carry out that discipline. Because a loving parent, if the discipline fit the crime or the problem, has to discipline the child. Because the kid would learn a really bad lesson that apparently America thinks is true, that there are no consequences. Today, people complaining about college bills. 30 years ago, you went to college, you paid it off, didn't you? What's changed? People and values. I don't have to pay my bills. When I make a contract, I don't really need to know what's in it because I really don't want to adhere to it anyhow. The problem we're having in our country is that there is no absolute truth or moral truth. And so what people say doesn't matter because we're not sure they actually mean what they say. We have people that don't believe that when radical Islam says we want to kill you as big Satan and kill little Satan Israel, oh, they just need a good counselor and a love package. They need more hugs. No. They need to be defeated in their ideology. Every person is created equal in God. Every person have rights under the sun because God made them that way. And your God does not believe that, and the God you pronounce doesn't believe that, and therefore we will not put up with that. Because they believe in slavery, by the way. Islam does. It's the will of Allah. And the reason I'm talking about this right now is because of truth. And at the end, there's going to be an overwhelming truth. And if you would look here in chapter 18. I want to go through this with you. In verse 18, we're going to talk about fall in Babylon. A lot of people will come to this part, and I'm one of these people that if it says it, that's what it is. I'm just kind of simple that way. They'll argue, is this fall in Babylon in this section Jerusalem? Or is it Rome? Well, can I just tell you, it's not Rome. Rome is not the center of the universe. And the reason that people thought that this fall in Babylon was Rome, initially because of the overwhelming presence of the Roman church in the world. So they found the biggest organization they could and they pointed their finger at them. But when it says Babylon, I kind of take it as Babylon. I'm simple that way, unless it's speaking figuratively. And it would use a word like Sodom, like Gomorrah, like Babylon. But if it says Babylon, I believe Babylon. Well, there's no Babylon right now. Okay. Fine, but there was no Fresno 120 years ago either. Oh, there's no way you can build Babylon. And oh, really? Have you seen Vegas? You can build. When the first time I went to the Middle East, the Arab Emirates didn't even exist. Back in the 80s. And that whole area, you've got people building golf courses in the middle of seas out there with their great money. They built all these huge cities, and it's only been maybe 15 years. So just because you read something in the future and go, well, that would take, you know, just an amazing amount of work. You might be lazy and you don't want to build an empire, but other people like building empires. They've been building empires for years. Goes way back, like at least 20 years. You know? Think about it. Look how devastated they are about Detroit. That great city. You know how many great cities have come and gone in the history of the world? A lot of them. Things happen. Things change. But when the Bible speaks plainly, read it plainly. And if it confuses you, understand that you might either not have all the information biblically, like you haven't read all the Bible, so you don't understand the context of this, or you don't have all the information you need to have, or you've been given all the information and understanding you should have, and if you're having a problem, it's because you're trying to think beyond what God is asking you to deal with, because you think somewhere that you have the reasoning of God and you could understand Him. Because we do know in John that the apostle said there are things that happen with Jesus, stories, stuff that I haven't recorded, because if I was to tell you everything that Jesus did or said, it would fill. And let's just say, speaking hyperbolically, every library in the world. Well, if Jesus is part of the created nature of the world, and we were to start asking him how he designed a butterfly, it may take a few volumes. So when we get to some of this stuff and it sounds like it's too big, too wild, too fantastic, remember who you're dealing with. God. Verse 18, 1. After this, another angel came down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory, and he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has been a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean, detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." It is clear right here that you can't really ascribe to a city character traits like your sins. We're talking about the people involved there. We're also talking about a culture of Babylon. Let me make this statement. You finish it off. What happens in stays in. Now, that's a culture of Vegas. Can I take a Vegas attitude towards going someplace with my buddies? So if my wife happened to hear, you know, what happens in Hollister stays in Hollister, guess what she's going to want to know? What happened in Hollister? Because she's going to think it's like what would happen in Vegas. Do we have movies that inform us of the excesses of Vegas happenings? Oh, yes. Now, do we think people actually wake up with lions in their bedrooms? You know, I'm kind of thinking that story may be real. That they might have compiled a lot of those activities and put them into one movie to go, here, let's show you how bad people can be. And look, they got away with it. Because isn't that the story of the movie? Be as depraved as you want and get away with it. So that's being Vegas-like. But if we were to use the rubric of Revelation, we would say it's in line with what? The Babylon. The whore of Babylon is it. I got to say it that way because I grew up in camp meetings. My family were from Lamont and Arvin, and they would put you in a tent. And this is just falling apart. Look at that glasses. That's incredible. You're never going to make it to end times that way. I'll just make right turns. These are useless. Anyhow, Lance, those are nice glasses. No, I won't take them. They always bring an extra pair for me because they always take my best glasses and leave me with these ones here. So in the end times, you're going to have things, you're going to read this issue of Babylon that even are in the world. Look at what's going on at this time, that this Babylon, and I believe there will be a Babylon someday that will answer to this description. I believe it will be in a Babylon area, which would mean in Iraq. You do know that our forefather, Father Abraham, came from that area. You do know that, right? Father Abraham had many sons. Remember the song? Yeah. He is from Ur of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were a subset group in northern Iraq. Isn't it amazing that at the end of the book and the beginning of the book, we're dealing with stuff out of that same area. When Desert Storm came, we were amazed to find plans for a Babylon to be built. You guys remember that? The plans for Babylon in Iraq that Saddam, so insane, thought, you know, let's build another Babylon. What could go wrong? So apparently some people don't have the same Bible. And this is where you have to be careful what you're reading. Stick with the Bible because it is God's revelation. Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God and is called the living word. Any revelation outside of that, according to biblical teachings, is false teaching. Okay? Now you'd say, well, why should I believe you versus this? Well, that's why we have Christmas, to prove it to you. The amount of revelation that took place for Jesus Christ to be born in exactly the right place, the right time, is so far mathematically out there that it has to be true or it's not possible. You just mathematically can't put them together. And I've got a guy back there going, I can tell you how many quarters. If each one of them was a quarter, they would stack up to the moon and back and all that. There's just no way that Christ could fulfill who he's being and be who he says he is without it either being a complete trumped up thing or it's the truth. And here at the end, we see these things coming, and it goes on to talk about the character. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she has mixed. She has glorified herself, lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.
Your wife got these for you.
Thanks, Charles. Parishioner number 7, thank you very much. You have this idea that this woman, that this Babylon is a woman, and then people don't take it. This is not a feminist versus men can mess this up as bad as women can, all right? But they do it with potpourri. It just smells nicer. And so we have this picture of the whore of Babylon coming down and that the Babylonian system is being crushed. But right now, where we're living, we're seeing a Babylonian system nurtured. Nurtured. That what's most important is making you feel safe and giving you the desires of your heart. And if I can just dumb down your desires enough, it'll be easy to make you happy. Like, let me give you a debit card that'll take you to Pizza Hut. I grew up, and we had to be on food stamps a time in our life. And I remember going up to that register and going, Mom, don't send me to the store. I don't want to be the one to take the food stamps to the store. Now, people will say, well, there's no shame in being on food stamps. You know, we're not on food stamps because we make good decisions normally. Now, it's a different thing in accidents of nature where things happen. But my family is on food stamps because my dad basically cheated on my mom, divorced her. She was right out of high school when she got married, had no job other than she was a hard worker. But how are you going to take care of 4 kids and have it? You know, we had food stamps. So they said, don't be embarrassed. Well, you know what? We were kind of embarrassed. A little healthy shame is a good thing because we were brought up that good decisions produce good outcomes. Bad decisions produce bad outcomes. And if you're having bad outcomes, you might want to look at your decision process. That's how we didn't have this whole government will bail you out thing. Babylon will take care of you. If you just sit and eat at her table, you'll be happy. If you embrace Babylon's philosophies, Babylon's mindset about sex and marriage, if you embrace a Babylon exercise. But see, this isn't new information. See, Israel has lived in that area before under Babylon. And when they were there the first time in Jeremiah, God said, while you're there, live well, have homes, marry your daughters off to appropriate people, start businesses, flourish amongst them, which isn't unusual because every time God was with Israel and Israel was in a foreign land, he grew them. He did it when they were in Egypt. He did it while they were in the desert. Remember, they knocked off half of their population, most all their population, died in the desert because of their sin. But by the time they got to Jordan, they were a mass again. And God has grown his people through discipline. But he's always told them, your job is to flourish. In America, we started this country to be a place of religious freedom where if you want to have your faith, and that means dancing with snakes, and if that snake bites you, guess what? I don't know what to say to you because I hope you have a healer. If you're going to live on one obscure verse, and that's the reason you're doing it, well, I hope you find another obscure verse to help you out. You know, the idea of personal responsibility goes away when Babylon says, come eat my fruit, come eat, drink of my cup, eat at my, I'll take care of you. All you have to do is live my way. It's called soft tyranny. Selling your freedom, selling your personal responsibility for a safety that is more of a cage. So we go on reading about this place and that it's going to be judged and that God is not passive against evil. God is not passive against sin. Here you have this angel with great authority saying, hey, you know what? You're going to be woefully, horribly burned. Look at this imagery. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. This Babylonian system going on in Babylon, all those connected will be judged. There is a time coming. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality, and I think of poor General Petraeus, and I don't know if poor is the right word to describe him, other than, what were you thinking, knucklehead? You know, after having been a platoon sergeant and giving all the, you know, we used to, as platoon sergeant, had to give a, every Friday I had to give a safety briefing. You know, to say, who has been through safety briefings before? Are you listening? No. You're just like, I got 17 minutes to make it out of here with my buddies and we're going down range. But our safety briefings went like something like this. When I was in Germany and the Cold War was going, really a great time to be around. That Cold War was fun. It might have been cold to you, but it was warm for me in Germany. They would tell us, listen, none of you guys are that good looking for some hot German model to come want to date you. So when you go down range, if some hot chick just starts buying you booze and dinners, you might want to think there's something going on because you're not that good looking. You know, Operation OPSEC, Operation Secrecy. You know, you wanted to keep things quiet. You wanted to, but we would tell our guys, you know, and I had a security clearance, and they would tell us, you know, hey, you need to watch out for these things. If you have these people trying to make friends with you, they're not. They're trying to find out when your unit's going out. What's your stronghold? Who's in charge? They'll ask questions. They'll make you think. And they're not sending the ugly person to do it. They're going to send the one you want to talk to. You know? And I had to realize that the enemy doesn't come after you and say, by the way, I'm Satan, and I'm here to destroy your life. Let's go do some porn. Come on. It's fun. Come on. No, don't worry about what it's going to do to your wife. Come on. Let's go.
And, or,
you don't have enough shoes. You need more shoes.
However Satan tempts you, it's real. And just as right now we have a value system in our country that is diametrically opposed to the values of our founding fathers, and I will say this straight up, it's not a Republican thing, because we didn't get into this thing because people who believed in the Constitution stood up for it. They compromised their way out of the standards of God in this country. And you're not going to compromise your way into it. They bought into the lie. They've purchased, you can buy me off with a jelly donut. You know, basically. But he never comes and says, by the way, I want to wreck your marriage. And I want to give you a really bad disease. Is that cool? Okay, let's go. You don't start out that way.
Don't worry about the disease. We've got a pill for that. It's okay, I've checked. And don't worry about getting her pregnant. These things work 99.9% of the time, except for the time they don't work. But I've got something for that too. It's called abortion. Go ahead.
Do you realize that Satan is actively planning his assault at all times right now? And that in the end we see this Babylon that's coming, that we have the roots of Babylon going on in our country right now. It's scary. But do you realize what your job is to do in the midst of this? Just like the call here. Do you know every one of you, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that is to say that you've accepted Jesus Christ, your penalty paid by Him, the Holy Spirit's changed your life, that you've been called by God, and you know what your call is? Much the same as what He's talking about here. He said He called them out of her. Can I call you out of California, the great Babylon of the West Coast? Can I call you believers to an honest faith in Jesus Christ today? Because just as sure as God's going to judge the whole world and Babylon and its system to come, this system that we're living under right now is going to break apart and God's going to judge it too. And you're being called out of that to be a messenger of a way out. Jesus Christ is the answer. We sang about it today. And I know there's some people who look at Christian guys as we're in here and I start crying. I need you, Jesus. I do. I need you. And they go, well, guys aren't supposed to cry. Really? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know I sinned. And he saved me. And I need him. Pardon me if I get emotional about that. But I want my sister to need him too. And I want my stepdad to need him too. And I want this world to need him. And I want everyone to know Jesus Christ. So if that gets you a little upset, maybe you need to know Jesus. And if it doesn't get your heart, maybe you don't know Jesus. Because it means life or death eternally. And we have this look in the future that says the future is as good as done. And today he's given us an opportunity to live out his will in victory and see people one to Jesus Christ. So can I say thanksgiving to God? You bet I can. Can I thank him for a country that allows me to preach like this? And then to go away with you guys to man up? With guns and prayer and bowling balls? They haven't understood the bowling ball thing yet. Hopefully they don't. But we have a faith to live today. And you can get up all caught up in tomorrow. The apostles asked Jesus, hey, when are you coming back? And he said, you know what? It's not for you to know the times. But I'll tell you what you're going to do. Acts 1:8. Go be my messengers. That's our big thing today. How are you going to celebrate Thanksgiving? Be thankful and tell somebody about your thankfulness. Tell them what God has done. And in this Christmas season, don't be apologetic. Tell them about Jesus. But don't just tell them, live Jesus. They will know you're my disciples by the way you what? Love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray according to your will because your will is always perfect. And you said if we prayed about your will and the things that are according to your will, our prayers would be met because we want to line up our desire with you. And Jesus, if we pray anything according to your name, and your name meaning reputation, according to what we know about you and the word and what you did on this earth, and that's why we bring in our prayer requests, because we want you, Jesus. We ask in this time of Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, in the Advent season, that you would give us opportunities to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And that we would hear the calling, come out. Come out from amongst them. Come follow me. And Lord, we thank you that you will give us every blessing, every resource in the heavenlies to see us as a body honoring you, growing us in your name, Jesus. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Come forward, Dave. And if you would give the benediction after your announcement, just release us.
Okay, we have an opportunity. We have a family who has been part of our church family here for many, many, many years. And they're in the process of moving. That's Andrew and Becca Esau. Due to...
The other one. You've got... They
Andrew and Misty.
Yeah.
Andrew and Misty. I'm looking right at her.
But we're praying for Becca, too, so...
Okay, here's the thing. Due to the health situation for Andrew, they've got to move over to the coast. Misty has already got a job over there, and things are beginning to transition. But next Saturday, they are having a garage sale at their home because they've got to get rid of about 50% of their possessions to make this transition. Here's where we can help. One of the things that we're asking as a church body is we come together. If you have something that you would like to donate to this yard sale as a donation to them, in other words, you have something, you give it to them, they sell it, they get to keep the proceeds to help them with this move over to the coast, it would be greatly appreciated. Anything that you might have, you can get with Misty after the service. Again, the yard sale is going to be next Saturday, but we are hoping that as a church body, that, you know, just something that maybe you were thinking of, you know, let's be real, garage sales, one man's trash, another man's treasure. There are things that you might want to get rid of that can help and help this family in this transition, and that's what we want to come together for. So see me, see them after the service, and obviously.